This is CliffCentral.com.
Oh, yes. Good morning.
All right.
It's Tuesday. It's already the 11th, Mike. We're halfway through July.
Oh.
I mean, just about, you know?
Wow. Wow.
You know what happens then? Because August is the next month, and then before you know it, it's the end of the year. It's insane.
Yeah.
It starts going downhill, and it does not stop. It's incredible.
Once the bum shorts and the teeny tiny little skirts come out in September.
How did you know that was what I wanted to wear?
Oh, well, I mean, you always like to remind us how good your legs look. So yeah. I'm pretty sure you'd want to show them off.
Yes, it's the bum shorts and the teeny little skirts. Mm. That's my thing.
Yeah.
How are you this morning, Mabane Moloi?
I am good. I am strong.
Good. Good. Hello, Sia Sangweni.
Strong like an ox, are you?
Strong like Mother Russia.
Big like ox, too.
I don't know if that's true.
What are you really
saying? Hey, Amanda, how's it?
Good morning. Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, happy Tuesday. I posted a picture of Batabile Dlamini this morning.
So early.
You know that... You know that one of her showing her butt, like looking at the camera?
Yeah.
And I said, happy Tuesday. If you want to be extra productive and have focus, it's better not to puzza in the week.
Oh.
Just saying. It's just a picture. I don't mean anything by it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do we call her the former minister?
No, she's still a minister. She's a minister of social welfare.
And, you know, former minister of police.
No.
Something.
No.
Does she get to wear a uniform for life now?
Otherwise, we'd have to call Mangosuthu Buthelezi as the president. And remember, he stood in for a little while once.
Oh, really?
Now, are you kidding? He declared war on Lesotho for those few days that he was president.
When did he?
Don't you remember?
No, actually, I do not. When was this?
Yes, we invaded Lesotho. You remember?
Yes.
It was over some kind of border dispute, or someone had stolen cattle or something. So Mangosuthu decided to revive the old Shaka Moshweshwe war of the 1800s.
Was this like pre-2000?
Yeah, it was. Well, I think it was Thabo Mbeki's, somewhere between 1999 and 2008, somewhere around there. I can't remember exactly, but
and the one chance he gets.
Yeah, he declares war. I mean, how much stereotypical Zulu do you need to be?
But how would an IFP member be acting president when the president of the republic was ANC? I don't know.
We used to have ministers who were from other parties for a long time.
Oh.
It was like a government of national unity situation, and some of the other parties would be able to have ministers. In fact, I remember at one stage there were quite a lot of ministers that weren't even ANC ministers. You know, that was back, you know, before we started to, become totally insular and each party only looked after itself and stopped giving a shit about the country. Because that started a while ago. But there actually used to be a time where we would cooperate. Oh, the good old days.
I find this so bizarre.
You didn't know about this?
No.
Mm. Look it up. It's a real story.
But I'm surprised as well that, you know, it's been some months now where Razmataz has been the Minister of Police, and I haven't seen him much like in a police uniform. I'm surprised it isn't bedazzled.
Well, your minister shouldn't. He hasn't got military rank and he hasn't got police rank. There's no reason that your Minister of Police should have to wear a uniform.
But do you remember
but he was commissioner. He wasn't minister.
Oh, right.
And especially if you're a civilian, it's actually insulting to the people who've worked hard for that rank. Because you just get appointed. They have to work through the ranks to get there.
They had to literally stand in the line of fire.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly in the Army and Navy and Air Force, they've had to hang around a long time, and they've usually deserved, unless they're also political appointments, deserved their rank. It's part of being able to command other people. You know, they're a very strict rules around that. And for a political person to just be appointed and wear the uniform, and even in the case of Begicele and Ria Piecha and
as commissioner, those people,
even as commissioners, it's just insulting to police who've been career policemen and women. It's like if you were a nurse,
mm-hmm,
or a doctor, and someone who wasn't a nurse or a doctor came into the surgery and took over from you because the president had appointed them. That would not make me comfortable as the patient.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean?
You do not have the skills.
Right. And it used to be that ministers of police, or at least of... There are still countries that follow this rule. The defense ministry. Sometimes it's not the best thing to have a political appointment. But, you know, there are countries that believe that a political appointment is probably necessary. Otherwise, you'll have a coup where the minister has some insight into the political sphere, but they also have a military background. It sometimes makes the politicians nervous. Because we've got enough stories in the world of military coup d'etats.
Exactly.
Anyway, what a heavy way to start the show with military coup d'etats.
Coup d'etat.
Coup d'etats.
Like a rendezvous.
Rendezvous.
I never.
Great. I went to the dentist yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. I had to have mercury fillings, the old ones. I had those taken out, and I had two ceramic ones put in. Now my mouth has none of those. You know those dangerous black mercury fillings?
Mm.
Well, they don't start off black, but they go that way.
Mm.
All out. Got new, and the one tooth was, I think, slightly cracked, so she had to fix that.
Mm.
Then she did a whole clean. So I'm feeling good about
How
that.
How long but did that procedure
my whole
take?
Face, I tell you, my face was numb for the most of the night. It was from, my appointment was at 4,
mm-hmm,
and it only really started to wear off at like 11 o'clock last night.
No.
Yeah, so eating supper was interesting.
Yeah.
Because you don't have control of the one side of your face.
Yes.
As stuff falls out.
Really, that is my ultimate.
So embarrassing.
Just trying to like drink something.
That was horrible.
I think would be a disaster.
You use a straw. Otherwise,
can you even wrap your...
No, it was stupid. It was totally stupid. But I've been on this mission for the last couple of years. As long as Cliff Central's been around, I've been on this mission to sort out my body, sort out my teeth, to sort out all those things. You don't want to end up with a problem when you're old.
Yeah.
And if I don't do it now, I'm already old. So, you know, you need to do what you got to do.
I'm just trying to think, when's the last time I took a good look inside my mouth?
Yeah. Just be careful. You know what's going on in there.
Oh.
Some dangerous things.
I don't know if I still have those old mercury, like, fillings. I know I've got the ceramic ones. Some ceramic. I think I might still have the old ones as well.
Yeah, well, I must
take a look inside my mouth.
Someone told me once that they are dangerous. And if you keep the mercury fillings, some of it leaches into your system. And you sometimes get into some trouble.
Oh, no.
So approximately half of a dental amalgam filling is liquid mercury. The other half is powdered alloy of silver, tin, and copper.
Mm.
Mercury is used to bind the alloy particles together into a strong, durable, and solid filling. That's what they say. And then some people say, well, these things are very dangerous, that you should get it out of your system as quickly as possible. But then some other people say, well, if you drill into the old fillings, which is what they have to do, to take them out, don't you release the mercury then? Isn't that more dangerous?
So now, next thing, you need like a scientist to now try and sort this out.
I'm just glad they're out. I don't want those things in my mouth. Especially in your mouth. If you think about it, that's the one place you don't need mercury, right?
Hey, but if it does the job, it does the job, right?
Well, I hope so. I'm just happier that, you know, I can now open my mouth and smile. Or I can laugh and people don't go, what is that? Because they do eventually go silvery, gray, black.
Pardon my ignorance. How often do you need to like get them changed? Or
no, you don't. You just
do it's for once. Life.
Consistently shows that these fillings expose dental professionals, dental staff, dental patients, and unborn fetuses to mercury vapor, mercury-containing particulate, and additional forms of mercury contamination. This is what they say. Mercury is a highly toxic element. There is no known safe level of exposure. Dentists have been using these fillings for over 100 years as a filling material for tooth decay. But does a century plus history make this filling choice safe when it comes to your health? The answer is no, according to the American Dental Association.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. They say that dental amalgam, that is mercury, is considered a safe, affordable, and durable material. However, it's a known fact that every time a person with a mercury amalgam filling chews, the mercury within that filling is released into that person's body.
Okay, my brother, maybe it is time to get it checked out.
This is why I went and did it, but I don't know. Someone said to me it's a scam. Someone told me it's a scam to make money.
Oh.
I'm happier. Don't know if it's necessary, but I'm happier. I'm glad I did it. It didn't cost an arm and a leg.
Mm. Now, how are those sounds that are made by the dentist's various contraptions? I don't know why their utensils have to scare the living daylights out of you.
They have to, right?
It's
psychological
for me.
Oh yeah, the worst part of the whole experience is when they inject you in the gums with a big syringe, because they dig that thing right in there. They go, I don't know. It feels like it might hit your brain. They go so deep in there.
Oh, it's such a sting.
And then obviously it goes away because now it's an anesthetic. And then they bring in this implement that goes zzz, and that one chops out the old filling. It drills it out. Then they bring in another one that goes and that one is to grind the tooth so that this new filling can find purchase. And then they bring in a little bit of which is the new ceramic filling, and then that goes away, and then she starts to
And then all the while
there's that
suction thing that's like a vacuum cleaner on your mouth, and
it's horrible.
Oh, then the taste though stays in your mouth after every sort of dentist clean.
Oh, I left out the glue that they put in as well.
Where? Before they put in the new ceramic thingy.
Yeah. Well, it has to connect with the tooth. So then they put in and that stuff. There's a chemical like smell to that. It's almost like super glue.
Mm.
You know the smell of super glue?
Mm-hmm.
If you open up a brand new tube of super glue, that's what it smells like. So you put yourself through this stuff, but you hope it will result in a long and happy future with your mouth. People used to die of their teeth.
Yeah, man. I can believe that.
Mm.
And if you think about how many old people in South Africa there are who have like no teeth left, how hard it is for them to chew and to swallow and to eat anything solid, and it just becomes a nightmare. So, you know, better to have it done than to not have it done.
Also, I always suffer from lockjaw when I've been in the dentist's chair for a while.
You?
Like my jaw gets
tight.
Yeah,
your muscles just get sore.
Yeah, it's not a nice feeling for me.
Sure.
What was like the taste you had for the rest of the day? Because it's always yucky.
No, not really. There wasn't any.
It wasn't for you?
There wasn't any taste. I don't remember anything like that.
Huh.
There's no funny taste, no.
Because as much as I love... You see, I've never had like bad experiences at the dentist. I always go just to get my teeth whitened and cleaned.
Yeah.
And then they do this
I do
entire,
that every... How often do you do that?
Well, they say you shouldn't do it. You should do it like once a year or something. I go like 6 months.
I go every 6 months.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So that's fine,
and they
right?
clean away everything that shouldn't be there. Mm. And they make sure it's all floss for you. And they do all that stuff. So they make sure everything's cool.
Exactly.
It's good. It's you need to do the you need to check the stuff, right? And
normal.
I don't... Look, that can also be because they use that little sonic cleaning thing that goes...
I'm here for that party.
High noise.
I'm here for that party. My dentist...
I like that feeling afterwards,
yes.
though. How smooth and clean your teeth are.
Yes. They
Man.
My dentist uses this like little scrapey thing on my teeth as well. I'm just like,
yeah. Right.
Take it away.
Yeah.
Give me the Bentley of teeth.
Right.
That works best. So my family is in like the middle of birthday bonanza week.
Oh, right. Is everybody now?
Back to literally right now.
We start with my dad next week.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and then we go into birthday bonanza time.
Oh, it was my mother's birthday yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
My sister's birthday today.
Happy, happy.
My niece's birthday tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And my other nephew's birthday the next day. So now I'm just like stuck. I don't know what to get for
Presents for everyone.
I'm so glad my mother's in Durban. So I gave her a call.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, is that all you call to say? I'm like, oh. No, you know, it's your birthday.
Did she think you were going to send down a care package?
She says, I thought you were calling to give me a reservation at a restaurant. So, hey.
That's not a bad idea. You don't pay the bill. You just make the reservation.
And let her find out there.
No. You just say to your dad, hey, Dad, I booked the restaurant. It should cost you about $500.
I feel so bad. But, like, we all just get so tired. We never know what to do. Because, especially in this week, if you do something for one...
You have to do it for everyone.
For the other. Exactly.
Well, yeah. My family are all around the same time as well. So my dad's is in July. Then my brother and I are in August. And my mom and sister in September. So it goes boom, boom, boom. 3 months of just nonstop birthdays. And there are others in the family too. So this is now birthday bonanza time for us. Anyway, yeah. What else did I do yesterday I wanted to tell you about? I actually made notes about this. I had a frustrating day, man.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there was so much to be done. And you know when you just can't get started? You look at your email or you think about what you have a whole lot of work to do, whether it's, in my case yesterday, was writing a bunch of stuff and reading over some legal documents, a whole lot of other stuff. And you look at it and you go, oh, I don't know. Any excuse will do to not have to do this.
It's like trying to start one of those old school lawnmowers with the stringy thing that you pull, but then it never starts.
But when it does start, it's a good thing.
It was a Monday, I think we all have days. Yeah, but we all have days where we're very, very productive and we can do 100 things, and you have those days where you can't even get one done. You feel useless. And it's not just me. I think it happens to all of us. I did get a very, very exciting and lovely new pair of sneakers, which always makes me happy.
Oh, feeding into your addiction.
I ordered them like 2 weeks ago, and then they arrived finally yesterday. They're so white and shiny and clean, I almost don't want to wear them. Okay. Because I know they're going to get dirty.
That's the thing.
Damn, man. I know the first mark I get on those shoes, I'm going to be annoyed. This is the best they'll ever be.
You can't wear something like that at a club, for example.
Hell no. You'll get home and there's the stuff on the floors in those places. Ugh.
So where do you wear it? Even just going out onto like grass, you're asking for trouble.
Because then you get grass marks on them.
So this you wear...
It's terrible. Don't laugh at me, Amanda.
It's the truth though. So you wear like from your house into the car, from the car into like a building.
Look. I've got various stuff that I use to clean shoes at home. But there's nothing that gets them back to that brand new look, no matter what, especially white shoes. You can sometimes hide it in a pair of black shoes or brown ones or any of those. But white, you're in trouble. And these are so shiny and bright and new. Oh, I love them. Makes me so happy. If you ask me right now if I would like to experience real love from another human being or a pair of brand new sneakers every day, I'd say brand new sneakers every day without even batting an eyelid.
And if Ben were here, he would make some judgmental comment on the back of what you've just said.
Well, thank goodness he's not here. Don't need his crap.
He's on holiday this week.
Well, let's see
in case you're wondering.
See if he comes back less cynical.
I actually was thinking about him yesterday because there's this supposed Sex and the City spin-off in the works with the Samantha character.
Yeah, the one that just had sex all the time.
Exactly.
All the time. All the time.
But funnily enough,
Horniest woman on television.
Mm-hmm. I saw this comparison of, you know, because now, how outrageous it would be if a six-year-old woman who loves sex is on primetime television, you know? So they were showing Samantha now, and they compared her to the Golden Girls. And if you actually think about it, the Golden Girls and whatever iconic image you have in your head, they, at their prime, started the show in their 60s.
That's right.
So 60s then and 60s now is totally different.
Well, 60s not... we keep having this conversation and then someone argues that, oh, well, you know, I think it's Ben. You just get old and then it's the end.
No.
These days, I mean, if you think about a lot of really, really sexy women, we mentioned J-Lo often enough, Beyonce, and these women are in their 40s, 50s, 60s.
But you know, I mean, literally, like, if you look at the Golden Girls when they started, they looked like someone's grandma already.
Well, yeah. They were pretty goddamned ancient. I mean,
they had the silver white hair. They had the grandma clothes.
Betty White must have once looked young, but it must have been long before I was born.
No, yeah, we don't remember that at all.
And there was, who else was in that show? There was Bea Arthur, who I always thought was a man, or at least a sex change. Oh. And then there was Blanche, I can never remember her. Rue McClanahan. She had red hair. She had red hair, but she looked like a gran. You know, she had a gran thing going. And then there was the really, really, really ancient one, who actually was like the same age as the others, but they made her look extra old.
Oh, was she really the same age?
She was the same age as the others.
Because
Sophia,
wasn't,
what was her name?
That was her character, and Estelle Getty's her real name.
Estelle Getty.
Didn't she play Bea Arthur's mother in the show? Yes.
Really?
Yes. And they were about the same age.
Wow.
But they made her seem like a whole lot older, like a whole generation ahead. And somehow, I mean, these women obviously had aches and pains and things, but they never really, we never saw them deteriorate on TV, and they were on for like 20 years. You never saw them develop an Alzheimer's disease or kind of fall down the stairs or any of that stuff.
Have a hip replacement.
Yeah. All the stuff that real old ladies go through, these women didn't. They all four lived happily in that house in somewhere in Miami. And then the one used to bring home lots of guys. Blanche. She used to bring home. She was like the Samantha of that show.
Yeah.
And nobody batted an eyelid then. They're like, oh, well, Blanche is a, what a gilf.
Yo, if you think about it, this is one awesome way to age, though, because I know similarly, this is what my grandmother's currently going through, because somehow she and her friends now live next to each other.
Yeah.
And her friend, one of her closest friends, is literally right next door to her. So she doesn't care even if it's like 10 p.m. and she's in her jammies. She like walk out and like, my mother,
her friend,
her aunts will be like, sure, listen, you can't at 10 p.m. be out there in your little nighty and your silk.
Old people have totally different routines to everyone else.
Oh, yeah, she doesn't care.
First of all, they wake up before even we do. They wake up so early. They have routines, so they have their tea at this time and they have their breakfast at that time, and you don't mess with their routines. Like, old people love a routine.
Yeah.
And then they will sometimes go to sleep and then sleep for a couple of hours, and they'll wake up, even if it's the middle of the night, and they'll have some tea or they'll watch something on television. Old people are very into their own schedule.
Yeah. And it's very important to them.
And don't arrive. Like, again, I've said my grandparents all died. The last one, I think, when I was 12 or 14 or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really have immediate old people around me very much at the time. But I know from the years that I did have grandparents, and from friends of mine who have grandparents, you can't just pitch up. They like to know everything in advance. Mm-hmm. And if you interrupt their schedule, like, hey, Gran, can I come around at this time? No, I'm having dinner at that time. Okay, well, how about after that? No, that is too late. You have to be there at 5:15, and you must leave by 5:45.
Very precise with time as well. Yeah.
They're into that stuff in a big way. Am I right? Do you have you've got grandparents who you see often? Right, Amanda?
You're so right. Like, every Tuesday we go to my grandparents for dinner.
Yeah, it has to be on a certain day at a certain time.
And if I just show up, like, my granddad's quite crazy. Like, his favorite like phrase is, what the shit?
Oh, really?
So if I just show up, he's like, what the shit are you doing here? Like, he's the craziest person I've ever met. Like, he's not so much into schedule, but my gran is. But my granddad can just, he just says stuff.
Yeah. But you arrive there, and do they always have the same food?
Oh, my word. It's either soup or chicken schnitzel.
Every
like,
time.
I love chicken schnitzel, so yeah. I'm all cool with that. But when it's soup, like, I'm just like, grand. Really.
It's always those two, never anything else.
And if you don't say that, you're not coming, like, in advance. So, like, if I had to say to her today at Hoppers 5, like, oh, grand, I'm not going to come, like, then she literally gets upset.
Well, because she's probably made it this morning. She's up right now making the food.
She has to skip the gym, so she can't go swim at
the
gym.
She goes swimming at the gym?
Yeah, they go swimming at the gym.
Ah, these are very active old people.
Goodness.
Yeah, that's impressive. Do you also see some of these old people at the gym? When you go, Mubs, you're there and you see these like really, really old people. I admire that.
Yeah, when I used to be able to go to the gym in the mid-morning, especially, I would see an old granny or two there, an old grandpa.
Working those machines, man.
Yeah.
Well, the machines are working them. Yeah. I'm just, the sight. I feel bad for them.
I love it. I think that's great.
Yeah,
They're keeping themselves busy and physically, on top of things. I like that. I think that's good.
Mm.
Anyway. All right, we got to stop talking about old people. So you're going to go visit them today?
I am.
You haven't canceled?
I haven't cancelled.
What do you talk about with them usually?
Well, the one time we were sitting watching Chicago Fire.
Yeah.
And my granddad, his name's Dick. And then my grand's name is Maureen. So we like chilling. And then on Chicago Fire, obviously because it's about like these firemen and whatever, the one guy goes to help this guy like fix something in his strip club. So now we're all just sitting there. So I'm already like, this is going to go wrong, you know?
Yeah, because you don't want to really have discussions about strip clubs.
No. So now my mom's sitting there. She's watching. I'm watching. My grandparents are watching. And then next minute, my granddad says to my granny, he's like, Maureen, did you see the tits on that one?
I like this guy. He sounds
always exciting. Like, he always just comes up with shit. So, like, I always tell my gran, I actually go there on a Tuesday to laugh.
Yeah, entertainment. Interview them for us today.
Yeah, no, I will. I'll record some secret stuff, like when we're at dinner, what he says.
Well, I don't know if you want to record them secretly, but talk to them. Interview them first about their schedule, their routine.
Yeah.
I want to know all about that. All right, let's get into some news. It's brought to you every morning by Colcacchio Pizzeria. They are the guys. They've been on board with us from the get-go, and we love them for it, but not only because of that, because they have the best food. You can go along and get a thin crust pizza of your choice, of your particular preference. You get the best pastas. You get the greatest salads. Oh, they're amazing. And they're everywhere. They're anywhere you go. On Sunday, I walked into... I had to go meet someone on Sunday afternoon for like an early dinner, late lunch thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a Colcacchio's. So guess where I went?
Colcacchio's.
Damn straight. Let's get into the news. Here's Mubs.
All right. Well, Eskom have a couple of things that they want to tick off their to-do list today.
Uh-oh.
They are planning on taking action against their former chief financial officer, Matshela Koko.
Oh.
Disciplinary measures loom for the former acting CE, chief financial officer, faces investigation. The board of Eskom will today announce disciplinary measures against him in a bid by the power utility to clean up its corruption-tainted image.
Mm. Well, that's going to take some serious cleaning up.
Mm. The disciplinary measures stem from an investigation into allegations of conflict of interest involving hundreds of millions of rands on the part of Matshela Koko. The investigation found substantial evidence of wrongdoing and irregularities in contracts which involved a company in which his stepdaughter has an interest.
Yeah.
It's always like a family
connect
in the situation. Yeah. So the utility will also begin a process to investigate the chief financial officer, Anuj Singh. Apparently, Eskom met with the law firm Cliff Dekker Hofmeyer last week to finalize preparations for the disciplinary action. Charges will be formally put to Koko this week, according to the chairman, Zethembe Khoza. So, I mean, what do you make of that? You know, we're constantly... well, criticizing wrongdoing. And then when something like this happens, either you think about time or, you know, a lot of people think, oh, please, we don't believe you. We've lost so much faith and so much trust in you at this point. We really don't believe when you say that you're going to do something.
I'll believe it when either someone goes to jail, because this is fraud. Someone has to go to jail, or they have to pay back the money. And I mean all of it. Now, if you benefited wrongfully and unlawfully, what should happen to you is you should have to pay back all the money that you stole and every salary you earned.
Mm.
And even if it means that you spend the rest of your life paying that back, you should have to do it. Because that's public money, right? Eskom is not funded by income from, I don't know, wind turbines it's put up somewhere. We pay them. And we pay them for electricity, but those prices have been hiked up and up and up and up. And then they get subsidies from government as well. And we know they've been spending on Gupta coal and this and that and the other. Then we had to fund Coco's stepdaughter's business because she got some tender. Nah, they must pay it back. So, jail and money. Then I'll know it's working.
Yeah, you see, I mean, when they talk about taking action against this guy, it seems to be in the form of a disciplinary action. So I don't know, does that involve laying charges against someone, or is it just a case of we're going to make an example out of you so that
jail,
you know,
or money, or else it's a worthless waste of time.
Yeah, so we wait to see how this plays out. All right, now we were talking about Bathabile Dlamini earlier. The social development minister has, on condition, and this is very important,
right,
on a condition, agreed to a public inquiry into whether she should personally pay the legal costs of the South African Social Security Agency grants debacle from last year. Dlamini's condition is that the inquiry not be led by the former Deputy Chief Justice Dikgang Moseneke.
Huh.
Mm. I don't know. What's the problem with him? I'm assuming it's a case of there's no love lost there.
Well,
there isn't any specifics identified as to why she doesn't want the former Deputy Chief Justice leading that inquiry, but that is her condition.
Well, she probably knows he'll do a good job.
Exactly. I think it's way too fishy.
Okay. The Constitutional Court will decide which retired judge as a result will lead the Dlamini inquiry, which will be the first of its kind, apparently, in democratic South Africa. Dlamini says that she'll accept retired Chief Justice Sandile Ngcobo, Justice Yvonne Mokgoro, or the former judge president Bernard Ngwepe for the position. So, I mean,
why should she get to choose?
This is exactly my question is, so you've agreed that there should be a personal or public inquiry into whether or not you should pay these legal costs.
Then you just take whoever they appoint.
Why is it that she is being allowed to set the terms and conditions? Terms and conditions apply. No.
Plus, she should have to pay because she lost, A. And B, she was using public money. She's the Minister of Social Development.
Yeah.
You don't think that money could go somewhere else? Like to poor people?
And remember how a week ago there were reports coming out of parts of the country about how
some people hadn't been paid their social grants.
Some people discovered when they were trying to exchange money at shopping centers that some of their bills were fake banknotes.
No. This is all her fault.
So the Constitutional Court was scathing in its ruling on the SASSA grants crisis, which it found had jeopardized the important role that grants play in assisting South Africa's most vulnerable. Dlamini's version of events differed sharply from that of the SASSA CEO and the former Social Development Director General.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but now there is the possibility that she will face a public inquiry. It's just that she, you know, gets to decide who leads that inquiry. I wonder what she has against the former Deputy Chief Justice.
I think she knows that she's going to lose. So she's going to try and find someone who knows her or likes her or, you know, it's kind of like she thinks she can get away with it if she's got someone soft there. And we know Dikgang Moseneke is not going to take any crap from anyone.
Well, the Concord says that they will decide which judge actually gets to lead it. So I guess the power is not entirely all in her court.
And that's probably right. Good. She shouldn't be the one to decide. Let the Concord decide. Good. Done. Dealt with. Finished.
Now, a lot of people have been talking about the embarrassing situation that currently surrounds our public protector. Oof, this really has not played out well for her. Now, the Democratic Alliance say that the public protector, Busisiwe Mkhwebane, has no experience running the office that she currently occupies, and her abilities should be taken under scrutiny as far as they are concerned. They're saying that her competency should be reviewed. Ouch. The party says Mkhwebane's sudden turn, acknowledging that it was beyond her power to change the mandate of the Reserve Bank, is an indictment that she does not understand her role.
Hmm.
And so they're saying, as a result, your competency should be reassessed.
Well, I mean, this is what happened yesterday, right? She had to admit that she had no mandate to fiddle with anything the Reserve Bank does, that they're a totally independent body, and that she should never have said anything about the Reserve Bank in the first place.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a climb down from where she was the other day when she was saying, oh, we need to investigate the Reserve Bank and we need to perhaps reevaluate what their mandate is. I mean, who do you think you are? You have no room to do this. So she's been put in her place, and maybe you could argue she is completely underqualified, unimpressive, and has messed up horribly as public protector. She certainly doesn't compare with Thuli Madonsela in anyone's mind.
No. Yeah, so yes, yesterday she did formally say that she will no longer be opposing the Reserve Bank's application to overturn her findings. Now, her findings led to the rand losing value amid fears that the independence of the bank could come under threat. And as a result, the DA's Glynis Breytenbach has said that she should actually personally pay the legal costs of parties which opposed her judgment and not make use of taxpayers' money.
Hmm. Maybe that's also a good idea. See, once we make people pay personally, they'll think much more carefully about wasting money. If you are using state money to do this, whether you're Batabile Dlamini or Busisiwe Mkhwebane or Eskom or any, if you use your own money, you better believe people are going to be a lot more careful, right? They're not going to waste a cent of their own cash. So introduce a cost. And if you want to take things up and you want to appeal things and you want to go to court with things, it must cost you personally. That's the only condition that should exist. If you win, great. Then the state will pay. If you lose, you have to pay. Then people will be a lot more careful.
Mm.
That we could implement that now. We could say, fine, across the board. Do you know how many billions and billions and billions of rands are wasted every year by government in frivolous lawsuits? You and I wouldn't do that because it would cost us so much we would be out of business.
Yeah, it would come straight out of our pockets.
Right. These guys get away with all of that and more. Nobody even asks. Okay, we'll get to some more news in a short while. We don't have sport today because Ben is not here. We'll get to Anthea shortly though.
Yeah, all I can say is that Nadal is out of Wimbledon. That's all I'm prepared to invest in anything sports related.
Well, there was did South Africa's Anderson manage to stick around? I saw he was playing against an American dude yesterday. I just saw it as I walked past the TV. Does anybody know what happened there?
Yeah, please let us know because I actually haven't been watching the tournament at all.
And by the way, I've got some kind of problem connecting to WeChat and WhatsApp and everything this morning, so I'm completely disconnected. If you've got something you want to say, you'll have to Skype us. Cliff Central, one word. Give us a call and then we can put you on.
Ah, shame. He crashed. He crashed out.
God damn.
Five sets.
All right, well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because I saw him on TV. I thought, oh, okay, this guy's doing all right. Okay, yeah, if we even try and do the sport, you know it's going to be a problem.
No, it's going to be terrible, which is why we're staying far away from it.
We that's one thing we really do need Ben for. There's only one, but we do need him. So I don't know if you saw this, but the ANC is trying to push full steam ahead with the reconfiguration of provinces.
What does that mean?
Well, if you know what the word gerrymandering means, that's what it is.
I do not.
Basically, the ANC policy conference called for a presidential commission to be set up for its work to be completed before the party's elective conference in December. They want to reduce the number of provinces to 6 instead of 9.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. You know why? Gerrymandering is basically where you reconstitute the borders of various electoral regions so that you can win those regions.
Oh, there'll be a whole lot of upset people.
Very upset people in opposition at the moment. Obed Bapela of the NEC within the ANC said they'd look into the powers, functions, and number of provinces. I don't know which provinces would go.
Yeah, and for some reason, people living in the provinces that go will take that very personally.
Oh. The ANC has consistently received fewer votes at the polls since the 2009 elections. There are fears that it could find itself with an even more reduced majority or even on opposition benches in places like Gauteng, where it only managed 53% in the 2014 elections and lost the metros of Johannesburg and Tshwane. So I don't know which provinces will be thrown into others. Yeah? Any idea?
Who
would go?
I'm trying to think what happened. Like Limpopo, for example. Limpopo.
Well, that's fairly distinct. Right?
So I don't think Gauteng would go.
No. Maybe we'd be thrown in with like the Northwest so that they can increase their majority in Gauteng. You know? Maybe they'll amalgamate Mpumalanga and Limpopo. But I think the most likely to go would probably be the Western and Eastern Cape would be thrown together.
Okay.
They'd probably put... It might be Mpumalanga and Limpopo. I mean, this is pure speculation on my part.
Yeah, no, sure.
And maybe they put the Northern Cape and the Free State together.
I was going to ask about the Free State because, you know... People don't always talk about the Free
State. No, like nobody cares.
I mean, in the scheme of provinces, it's kind of considered an insignificant province. And I can say that because I'm from there before you want to start attacking me.
All right. So if we throw together the Western and Eastern Cape, that's already reduced it to 8. If we put together Northern Cape and Free State, that puts it at 7.
KZN is in all likelihood going to stay by KZN. Itself. Yeah, like nobody's going to touch KZN.
Anywhere the ANC has a majority, highly unlikely they're going to want to dilute that.
Wow.
See, they've got a great majority in Mpumalanga. That's why I'm thinking in order to bring Limpopo under heel, because that's one place where the president doesn't have as much support in the northern area as everywhere else.
Yeah.
They'd throw together Mpumalanga and Limpopo, and that would put it at 6. You know, these people are crafty, huh?
It would seem so. And then the next question would be, what do you call the new provinces? Because that in itself would just start a whole lot of, like, new Twitter fights, I'm sure.
Limpopolanga. Limpopolanga.
And what do you do with Eastern and Western Cape?
Cape. And what do you do with the Northern Cape and Free State? Central. Huh?
That would be funny.
Central province.
Yo, I can already see people losing their shit on Twitter.
Oh, big time. I just think it's so clear that what they're trying to do here is to give themselves a little bit more time and give themselves a little bit of an advantage in terms of their electoral regions and the majority in those various areas.
Mm.
It seems like such a cynical, obvious, well, we know what you're up to situation. But maybe I'm wrong. Is Anthea on the line? All right, let's give it a try. Let's try Anthea on Skype this morning. We're having difficulty connecting to everybody today, but hopefully we've got her there. So here it is for your pleasure this morning. Everything you need to know about your money. The Money Shot.
She looks hard for the money. So hard for it, honey.
Morning, Anthea.
She looks hard for the money. So you better treat her right.
All right, we're going to go to the line. Let's see if we can get her on there. And I hope that this line is okay. We don't have any communications this morning by the sound of things. Oh, Jesus, there's that ping, ping, ping noise. Anthea, can you hear us?
Good morning, Gary.
No, this is terrible. Sorry, not going to work.
Oh, dear. So nothing works this morning?
Nothing is working this morning. Nothing.
Dear.
Yeah. Not great. So why is Skype not working? What's the problem with Skype? I mean, can I get her on my Skype here? That's how I'll do it. It always has to come down to me. God damn it. All right, just tell Anthea I'm going to call her on my Skype. You know, it's very hard to do what we do, Mubs. It's very difficult to not lose your shit.
Yeah, in
you know,
in moments like this, it definitely seems hard.
Well, I try to do a professional job here with everybody. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. All right, let's see if we can get her here. Anthea, good morning.
Good morning, Gareth.
Thank God for me and you. All right, Anthea, what's going on in the Money Shot today? What do we need to know? Yesterday, I saw the markets weren't looking too terrible.
Yeah, it was a very strange day yesterday, actually very quiet again. Less than $1 billion traded on the JSE. I mean, I think it was the fourth lowest volume day of the year so far. There are really no companies reporting, so we're being driven by macro and global markets. And then we spent most of the day in the red. The rand strengthened to...
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, so we spent most of the day in the red yesterday as the rand strengthened to 13.30 against the dollar. But then in the afternoon, things took a bit of a turn. The rand weakened to 13.46, and that helped our market bounce about 0.5% higher on the day. And not just kind of 0.5% higher, but all the major indices were higher. And very strange, our resource shares ended in the green, which is very surprising considering commodities continued to fall. Even our diversified miners like Anglo and Billiton were up 1.5% yesterday. And then the gold price fell to around $1,200 an ounce. But Anglo Gold, Goldfields both up 3%. So really everything being, I would say, led by the weaker rand. And then Gareth, following on from our conversation yesterday about platinum, it fell to below $900 an ounce yesterday. And I know that's more of a psychological break than anything else. But when you consider that the... Gareth, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm listening. Loud and clear.
Then when you consider that the 10-year average of platinum is closer to $1,400 an ounce, below $900, I think it's more than just psychological. I think it's the sector that is in structural decline, as we spoke yesterday with all the electric cars coming online. Yep. And, you know, for South Africa, we're still very much dependent on our platinum sector or our platinum companies. And at these levels, I can't imagine many of them are still profitable.
Yeah, I think this is inevitable.
And you've been saying it for a while now. I remember last year we had this conversation. You were saying exactly that. Why are we not moving away from this resource-driven economy, right?
Well, not moving away because we don't like it, just because things are getting more efficient, they're getting faster, they're, you know, using less resources, getting more done. It's a question of efficiency.
And we need to protect our economy and diversify, really, and hedge ourselves out.
We do have, in South Africa, more mineral resources per person. If you divided all the mineral resources by the population, we have a greater richness of mineral resources than any other country in the world. But we can't rely on that. What we need to do is develop businesses that manufacture, that innovate, that rely more and more on the internet economy, that kind of thing. That's how we will future-proof ourselves and not become a slave country to the others.
Can't disagree with you. And then even South 32, which was the company spun out of Anglo Gold yesterday, they put out an update. It was on metallurgical coal, on their metallurgical coal operations. But I think it just, again, points to what's happening in the mining industry. And they were saying that their forecasted outage period is going to be extended until further notice. So again, you know, just like operational issues, lower commodity prices, things that just don't work in our favor. I see the public protector has said she won't contest the Saab's objection to her recommendation to change the mandate, and which I thought was interesting, but I think it's important to note that even though she doesn't object, the case, if you like, an inverted commas case, I'm not sure it is a case, still goes ahead. And so so as far as I'm concerned, the damage has actually already been done, because guess what? The rand hasn't recovered after the fall, after it fell from her attack and the ANC interest, shall we put it in inverted commas, in the Reserve Bank. So, you know, we keep scoring these own goals, don't we?
Well, it appears that either the markets don't care for her opinion anymore, because the rand didn't move after she admitted she has no right to interfere with the mandate of the Reserve Bank, or that the damage, as you've already said, has already been done. Either way, Busisiwe Mkhwebane is a lame duck.
It's a little bit out of a league, I'm afraid.
I mean, this is something a public protector should be au fait with the law. They should be able to at least, at very least, figure out the limits of their authority.
I again have to agree with you that the least, as you say, right? Anyway, the markets, global markets are a bit higher this morning, so hopefully we'll follow the global markets higher. We'll see, depending on the rand, I suppose, and what gets said in public political world.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks, Anthea. We'll check in with you tomorrow, same time, and hopefully we won't have any problems technically.
Super. Chat to you tomorrow.
All righty. Thank you. There's Anthea Gardner. A look at the markets this morning. If you're getting up now and you're about to start your day, we're here to look after you. We've got some news coming up. We'll check in with Jane, who just went on a trip to Venda, and she had to contest with baboons and snakes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. No, it's real.
A day in the life of Jane.
It's tough out there. She said that her biggest concern was that there were people in the village that she's from, in Venda, who said to her that the baboons will come into your house and take your baby away.
Oh my God.
That's what they believe. So she was very worried about that.
I didn't even know this is true.
No, I don't know if it is, but she believes it.
Well, when I hear baboon, I think like Tarzan, jungly.
Listen, don't mess with baboons.
Way back in the ways.
No.
Look, and if I can open doors in the Western Cape and rummage through people's groceries, what's snatching a baby? I mean,
easy. What about raising it as your own?
I feel like they're doing it out of spite then. They know. Let's just take your baby and run. What horrible creatures.
All right. Let's get going. Come on. It's Tuesday, 11 July. CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.